nothing. He sent his son that you can go to heaven and not hell. That's a great love. He loves you enough to forgive you when you mess up. He loves you enough to bless you.
He loves you enough that he wants you to spend an eternity with him. He loves you even in spite of all your faults and all the things that don't measure up. He still loves you. And I'm so glad for God's love. We welcome you here today, and anybody that's in the parking lot, we welcome you. And then anybody that's listening later on the website, we welcome you to be a part of what's going on today at Barber's Grove. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for every blessing. We want you to know, Father, that we welcome your presence. We worship you as our King, our Lord, our God, as the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one. We pray that the Spirit of God will speak freely through all that's said and done. Father, we honor you. We want to hear you. We want to obey you. Lord, bless this people today. All that's listening, both now in the parking lot or later on the website, bless them with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. We have a special attendant. We now will ask our graduates to come in, please. Jesus does love the little children. And indeed, they are precious in his sight. If that's not precious, I don't know what is. Anyway, it's my job, my pleasure to be able to read the accomplishments of our two graduates today. And I'm going to do that at this particular time. We'll do ladies first. Is that all right? We'll do that right. The first one I want to recognize this morning is Charlie Catherine Snyder. And she's the daughter of Zach and Emily Snyder. And she's the granddaughter of Ken and Rennie Linker and Lonnie Snyder and Sylvia Hunt. She's a graduate of Carolina Christian Preschool. And her accomplishments are learning to write her name, learning the days of the week. That's really important. Learning to write her ABCs, learning to count to 100. Charlie's favorite thing about school or playing outside and seeing her friends. Charlie wants to be a doctor. That'd be great when she grows up. Charlie is excited to go to kindergarten and to be at the same school as her big brother next year. Now, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You give her a hand. Would you do that? All right, Mr. Andon, we're going to recognize you at this particular time. Love that color, right? Everybody, I'm getting in trouble already. What a great color. All right. Andon Shaw Hartzell, son of Grant and Aaron Hartzell, grandson of Ken and Rita Linker and Betty Hartzell. Graduate of Emmanuel Child Care. His accomplishments are learning to write his name, learning that sharing is caring, amen, learning to identify his ABCs, learning to count to 100, Andon's favorite thing about school was playing outside and playing with his friend Luke. Andon wants to be a construction worker and drive a tractor when he grows up. Attaboy. Attaboy. Andon is excited to go to kindergarten at Unionville Elementary and go to his mom's classroom in the fall. Way to go, Mom. All right. At this particular time, our pastor is going to come. And did y'all have anything you want to say? Anything you want to say to anybody at this time? Excuse me, there is a slideshow. I'm sorry, Pastor. Okay.
You can
come. Yeah, let's do the slideshow. You can come down and sit down.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, as I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Just sing it to them very, very loudly.
Here we go.
That was wonderful. Enjoyed that very much. All right, now with congregation, it's going to be your turn. We're going to do our hymn sing for this morning, and it's Serve the Lord with Gladness, page 495. It's going to be on the board as well. Serve the Lord with Gladness, of all three verses, as we stand together, please.
Serve the Lord with gladness in our works and ways. Come before His presence with our song of praise. Unto Him, our Maker, we would pledge anew life's supreme devotion to serve. Serve Him with gladness, enter His courts with song, to our Creator true praises belong. Great is His mercy, wonderful is His name. We gladly serve Him, His great love.
Someone this morning. It is indeed good to see you all this morning. It's a nice crowd this morning. Everybody looks like you're relaxed and having a good time and worshiping the Lord. And that's what we're here to do, is to worship the Lord. I have some announcements for you at this particular time I want to share with you. Don't forget Wednesday night. Wednesday night is our Bible study. And we encourage you to come and be with us and be part of that, be part of that Bible study. Vacation Bible School. Please be in prayer for Vacation Bible School this summer. Rita Linker, if you need more information about it, see her. And it'll be Saturday in July the 1st, one-day event. And we'll kick it off on Friday, June the 30th. Miss Rita, anything you want to add to this at this time? You nothing you want to add? Okay. That means I did it okay. I must have. Okay. All right. Anyway, one day Bible school, a little bit different this time around, but we can get a lot of studying in one day. We sure can. And let's be here for that. Okay. All right. And let's not forget also that we will have a special Bible school beginning June the 11th for all of our adults. And this will be during the Sunday school hour. So Lionel will be leading that. And so most of you by now should have received a book, and I've got one here for an example. If you don't have an autopsy of a deceased church, kind of a sad title, but in any event, if you don't have a copy of this, please let us know. We'll make sure you get one, because that's what the Bible study, that's what the study is going to be involved with. Okay? All right. Are there any other announcements that I may have overlooked at this time?
I need to see the Baptist men real quick down front right after the service.
Yes, sir. Baptist men, before you go that way, come this way, and we'll be just right. Okay? Anybody else? All right. Let's go now to our prayer request. And I don't have any early ones that's been turned in to me. So does anyone have any prayer requests this morning? Robert.
I've had Wayne Williams on their prayer list. I'd like to make an extended prayer. They call it hospice.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Rosina. Yes, okay. We'll do that. Jim, Brother Jim.
Yes, pray for tribal mercies for Janice and I.
Yes.
We'll be leaving Tuesday for Deadwood, South Dakota.
That word Deadwood, South Dakota, I think everybody was kind of saying, we've heard that name somewhere before. It's all about Westerns, I think, and all about outlaws, isn't it? We talked about that briefly this morning. Now, they're not outlaws. Now, I don't mean to say.
We have outlaws.
But let's pray for traveling mercy for Jim and Janice. All right. Anybody else? Let's pray for our Bible school.
I'd like to just give a little praise support. My mother.
Okay.
We showed her how to pull up the website on her.
Yeah. Let's keep those are homebound in our prayers. Aunt Bertie comes to mind, and let's keep her in our prayers too. I know the family is sticking by and staying with her as much as possible. So I do know that there's a need there for. So let's pray for her as well. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good idea.
Oh. I'll have the information there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Marie would love that. I know she would. Okay, anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer then this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity you've given us, this opportunity you've given us to be able to worship your name in your church. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have prioritized their time, and they're here. They could have been a lot of places this morning. I know that. But they decided this was the place to be, to come and to honor your name and to worship your name. We thank you for them. Lord, there are those, Lord, who still need your touch and need a prayer or made answered, Lord, and I know you're able. I know there's not a single problem, Lord, that you can't handle. There's not a single problem that you're not greater than. So now, Lord, we come to you and ask your continued blessings. And Lord, we ask now for a special prayer for little TJ as he's still battling that cancer, Lord. And Lord, I know that you're able, and we ask for healing for his body. Lord, then we ask for special traveling mercy for Pastor Jim and Miss Janice as they travel. And Lord, we ask as they go, Lord, in that long trip, we pray, Lord, for safety. and they would have a good restful time. We pray for our Bible school, Lord, that's coming up. Lord, we thank you for Rita, and we thank you for those who is helping her. We thank you for Janice, and we thank you also for Chris, who will be helping with that Bible school. We pray a special blessing for them. Lord, we thank you for Miss Nail, and we want to lift her up to you this morning. And Lord, I know that she needs encouragement, and Lord, I know that she's getting that, Lord, and we thank you for that. We pray for her continued blessing and strength as she adjusts to her surroundings, Lord. We pray for Aunt Bertie. We lift her up to you, Lord. I know, Lord, there's a need there, and Lord, as she is a 95, 96, Lord, that's a long time, Lord, to be here on this earth. But Lord, we thank you for that time you've given her. But now, Lord, we ask a blessing upon her peace and comfort. And as we turn our attention back to our church, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We pray for him, Lord, and we ask, Lord, a special blessing on him. And then, Lord, as a member of our praise team comes, Lord, this morning and sings to us, we pray for Miss Kathy, Lord. We lift her up to you as well. And we thank you, Lord, for her willingness to work and to be able to serve you in this way. Again, Lord, we ask your blessing upon the remainder of our service, and we'll be very, very careful, Lord, to always give you the honor and the glory, because it's in your name we make this prayer. Amen. As I said, Miss Kathy is going to come and share with us now as a member of our praise team, and Kathy always does a wonderful job, and no pressure, right?
No.
You come on and be with us.
I don't respond well to pressure. Thank you, Lena. If y'all will rise and stand with me, I first heard this song years ago. Pastor Philip used to love this song, and I think he had asked me to sing it one time before, and I heard it. I've heard it several times this week, and so I thought, you know, maybe this was God's way of telling me that we need to sing it here. So it's a real simple song. You guys should all know it. If not, the words are up here, and we'll just do everything in Christ alone.
Thank you.
Okay. This morning I want to do a little prophesying. And I know that's dangerous business because they either put them in prison or stoned them or both. But what I've got to say has got to be said. Turn with me first to the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars. Hast borne, hast patience, and for my sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now I looked at that cornerstone out on the wall out here, and if I did my math right, Barber's Grove is 142 years old. Is that right? How serious are we about getting to 150? How serious are we about getting to be 150? If we don't do some things different, we're not going to make 150. You realize that last year, over 400 Southern Baptist churches went out of existence. Another 100 and some churches where they had tried church plants, they'd tried to start a church, went out of existence. So in a sense, Southern Baptist last year lost over 500 churches that just simply ceased to exist. This morning, unless something has changed in Stanley County, there's a church with 3, another church with 6, another church with 10, one with 15, one with 18, and another with 25. I talked with a lady in another county a couple weeks ago, and she said, we used to have more people in our choir than we have now attending. And that's sad. How serious are we about making 150 years or longer? Interesting, Burrus Creek, the first church I pastored, today's homecoming. This is their 199th year. Now, attendance is about half of what it was when I was there, but they're still pretty strong church. You know, I've been preaching at Barber's Grove now almost 6 years. It goes by in a hurry when you're having fun. Do you know in that length of time we've lost over 40 people? I think there's like 10 that have passed away. There's something like 6 or 8 that were coming regularly that are now either shut in or in nursing homes. There's another 8 or 10 that never came back after COVID. And then there's a dozen or so that just got upset about something and quit coming. 40-some people. And if you doubt me, see me after church and I can tell you their names. Maybe not all of them, but I can say, you know, such and such and such, and you'll know who I'm talking about. Well, right now, between 40 and 50, Gary, right, most Sundays. Do the math. 6 more years, subtract 40 more, and how many's left? We've got to do something different. Now, we celebrate the babies that have been born in the last couple of months, but But it's obvious we're not going to repopulate this church with babies. Now, a number of us, probably a dozen, would have to get married again. And if we got married again, the Lord would have to do some Abraham and Sarah miracles. I used to tease Pamela. The story in my family is that my great-granddaddy Louder had his last baby at 75. Now, it was with his fifth wife, who was in her 20s. And I used to tease Pamela. I said, we get 75, we have another one. And she said, dream on, buddy. Dream on. But it's obvious we're not going to populate this church with babies. We're going to reach some folks that we haven't been reaching. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Now, some things may need to be radically changed. I'm going to give you some options, and you just think about these. I want you to raise your hand here in a minute. How many of you in the last 5 years have started down 2427 toward Charlotte and passed a line of covered wagons and a wagon train going toward California? What? Wagon, covered wagons are out of date. 200 years ago, it was a big deal to be making covered wagons. It was a good occupation to be making covered wagons. Now, there may be a few needed for a movie reenactment or for somebody on a dude ranch, but you could have 1,000 acres of covered wagons rotting down and go broke. We just don't need covered wagons anymore. We use a moving van. Similar question. How many of you, if you decide to go to Albemarle this week, are going to walk over to Oakboro to the livery stable and rent a horse or a horse and buggy? You know, a livery stable used to be in every little town because people need to rent a horse or a horse and buggy, horse and wagon. Anybody have a stagecoach to deliver your mail this week or Pony Express? Now, what I'm saying is all of those things are, well, they were good in their time. They were needed in their time. They were a blessing in their time. And somebody could say, but my family has always made covered wagons. Sorry. You're going to go broke making covered wagons. My family has always had horses and run a livery stable. Sorry. You're going out of existence. I can vaguely in the back of my mind remember going with my dad down to a place in Albemarle, actually real close to where the Snyder's plant, one of those plants used to be there on the old road that goes through, close to Emmanuel Baptist Church, and there were horses. Now, whether they were was a livery stable or the guy just traded horses, I don't know, but I remember going down there when I was a little kid, and there were horses. Not any horses down there now. There's some things that definitely have to change, or else you're out of business. Now, interestingly, there's other possibilities. Sometimes people prosper and do well by finding one thing and doing it right. Now again, I'm going to go to the business. I guess it's been over 30 years since I've eaten at the breakfast nook. But every time I go by there in the morning, the parking lot is jam full. People are out on the patio, and the lot on the right-hand side of the road sometimes has half a dozen vehicles in it. Now, you don't go to the breakfast nook for lunch or supper. You go for breakfast. They have found their niche, and they do it well, evidently. Now, I'm not saying that in the last 50 years they haven't added or taken away a few items on the menu, but they do breakfast and they do it well. I know I've run into some of you at Rosebriar. All they do is lunch. Now, there's new owners. They may change that. But and one Friday night a month, they would have a meal. But lunch. You don't go there for breakfast. You didn't go there for supper. You just went there at lunch. And every time I went for lunch, I had a hard time finding a place to sit. They do it, and they do it well. Now, Rocky River Springs. I couldn't even tell you how to get there from here. I got to Aquadale to get started. Now, I know you folks that live in this neighborhood, you know the shortcuts, but I don't. But for years, that was where my family liked to go go eat. Anybody go down there yesterday morning and ask for bacon and eggs and grits and homemade biscuits? You see, all of these businesses have found their niche, something that they do and they do well. And because of that, they have been there for years and years and years, and as far as I know, are still doing well. I hope one of them doesn't close tomorrow because of what I just said, but as far as I know, they're still doing well because they found their niche. And you know, it's interesting how many people that I know that say, I like Barbies Grove Baptist Church for the atmosphere, the reality, the friendliness. I love Barbies Grove Baptist Church for what I feel when I go into that building, but they live too far to come regularly. I can think of several families that live over by Monroe. I think of a lady that I ran into down at the greenhouse a few weeks ago, and after she told me who she was, I remembered her. She says, I love your church. She's been here maybe 3 times in 6 years. And I think she's older than me. I'm not sure. I'm not going to ask her. But she lives over somewhere, Mara Mountain, Baden, way out in that direction, too far for her to drive every Sunday morning to church at her age. There are people that love this church. Well, let me ask you a question. Shouldn't there be some people around here that live close that would get the same joy out of coming as those that live so far away? How do you know what to do? You pray. You pray. Seek the will of God. Here's where the instruction comes. Every one of us as individual members of church, children of God, need to be prayer. Individually. We need to be praying as families. Include your kids if they're old enough to understand what's going on. We need to be praying in small groups. Now, best I can tell, everybody here loves everybody else, and there's no cliques. But I know that there's certain ones of you that pal around a little more than others. You go out to eat or whatever. Get together with your group and pray. Get together with your group and pray. We need to be praying as a church. We were talking the other night about, on Wednesday night in the committee meeting, about prayer driving. You know, a lot of places have prayer walking. I'm not up to walking from here to Oakboro. I don't think. I hate to try it. But I can get in my car and drive around and pray. And the thing about it is, you folks who live here, you know when you go by, those folks go to Oakboro First Baptist. Those folks go to the Methodist Church. Those folks go to Red Cross. Those folks I don't know about. Those folks don't go anywhere. And you can drive by and pray for every person that you drive by. I've thought about, you know, getting one of y'all that's got the biggest farm truck and 30 or 40 of us get in the back of it and just drive around and pray as we drove around the community with everybody that would come and get on the truck. Pray. Now, don't just say prayers. Listen to God. I mean, real conversation is Leonard talks and I talk. And then I talk and Leonard talks. It's no fun if I do all the talking. Leonard said, well, I wish you'd shut up so I could say something. Sometimes I think God says, hush up for a minute. I got something to share with you. Don't just say prayers. Really communicate with God. And share every idea that the Lord gives you. You may think, well, that's the stupidest thing. No, share every idea that the Lord gives you. If your children give an idea, listen. I mean, Samuel had not even heard the voice of God when one day he kept saying, hearing, he's trying to go to sleep, and he kept hearing somebody say, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he's probably 6 years old, 8 years old or so. And before it was over with, God was giving him awesome instructions about and prophecies about what was going to happen to Eli and to Eli's family. And he was just a little kid. Read the book of Jeremiah, and God says, Jeremiah, don't say you're just a youth. I've already laid my hand on you to be a prophet of God. Listen to the kids. And if you think an idea is really weird, read your Bible. You think about some things that God said to the people in the Bible. Gideon, you got 32,000 men. Your enemy's got 110,000. He didn't say, Gideon, you need to recruit some more. He said, Gideon, you got too many. Send them home. Am I hearing you right, Lord? And finally, when he got down to 300, God says, you got enough. What about Philip? He's preaching a major revival. People are getting saved right and left. Miracles are happening right and left. And the Lord says, Philip, chuck it all, pack your bag, and go down to the desert, to Gaza, on the road that goes down toward Egypt. Didn't make any sense. I mean, Lord, they expect me to preach tonight. It's going to be a big crowd. No, you go down to Gaza. And he met that Ethiopian eunuch and led him to Jesus. And that Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and changed the whole nature of that country. What about Ananias? The Lord says, Ananias, there's a guy named Saul. He's just had an encounter with me, and he's over on Straight Street. You go over and lay hands on him so that he can see. Baptize him and get him ready for the kingdom, to be a mighty missionary for the kingdom of God. And Ananias said, now, wait a minute, Lord. Saul is a bad dude. He's here to put people in prison. When he finds out I'm a believer, he may have me killed. Didn't make any sense at all. But Ananias went, and you know the rest of the story. What about in Acts 13, when there's a group of five praying and fasting and praising the Lord, and the Lord says, separate Saul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, for the missionary work that I've got for them. But now, Lord, that's 40% of our leadership. That's who we need. Now, so listen to the voice of God. Pray, but listen to the voice of God. And then see what God is saying to you as a member of this church. For 140 years, if you think of it as a relay race, one generation has been handing off the baton to the next generation until the baton is in our hands. We need to find some the folks that will receive the baton for the next generation. And I think we've got maybe a year or 2 years to do it. We can say, well, preacher, that's a good idea. And we can sit around here on our blessed assurance for a while and do nothing. And we look up one day and there's 20 of us here or 12 of us here. And that'd break my heart. It doesn't need to be that way. There are people all over this community that need Jesus, that need to be in church, and we need to reach them. Now, that scripture that we read in Revelation, I'm not going to take an hour to go over it, but just notice some things. Jesus first tells them, I'm in the middle of your church, and I know what's going on. I know your works. Jesus knew what's going on, and he knows what's going on at every church. Jesus encourages them about everything they're doing right. And I love the way you love one another as a church. I love the way you care about one another as a church. I love the way that you love this church. I love the way that you seem to want to do what the Bible says. You want to know the Bible. The Lord knows the good stuff. And he encourages, but he says, change what's wrong. Change what's wrong. And then he says, return to the first works. He says, you've left your first love. Return and do the first works. I said this the other night, and I'm going to say it to the bigger group. You know, it sort of concerns me that we talk about getting people into church rather than getting them born again. It seems like to me, you know, 50 years ago, the whole thing was, we got to get people saved. We got to get people saved. We need to witness and get people saved. And now it seems like we don't even talk hardly about getting people saved anymore. It's like, well, let's see if we can get some people in church. And if we get them in church, I hope they'll be saved eventually. But how concerned are we about the people who are on their way to an eternal hell without the Lord Jesus Christ? I wasn't here 140 years ago when this church was started. But I almost guarantee you that their priority was to build a good church, a Bible-believing church, and a church where people were being saved. I know when I read the church histories that I wrote two, for one for Brush Creek, one for Prospect. When I read the old records from 150 years ago, there was a concern in the people's hearts for the lost. And until we get back to being totally realizing every day people die without Jesus and are going to hell and go to the first works and witness unto the lost, we're going to be missing him. Totally in love with Jesus. Jesus makes a couple of other statements there. He said, you do it and you'll be blessed. And he says, you failure to do it. And he talks about moving your candlestick. In a sense, he said, my presence is going to leave. And the church that refuses to come and be totally committed to Jesus Christ will soon find that his presence is dissipating. Now, I don't know any other way to say it. I think we've got a year, maybe 2 years, to decide, are we going to reach this community, people that live close enough to come on a regular basis? And it's not just a pack the pew deal. It's a reaching people that need Jesus. It's reaching people that are unchurched. How many people that I've dealt with in recent months, you know, after Pamela died, and they talk, how do you make it? I make it with Jesus. And then we talk about people that don't have Jesus and how they just can't make it when trouble comes. Now, we, like the newsletter I wrote a few weeks ago, we can wish and hope, but it don't get done. You know, I wrote about Ted, said, you know, Ted and sitting in his recliner and wishing hope for plants. It's not going to happen. Ted and everybody, Bonnie and the rest of them, have to put those seeds in there. And then the life that the Lord put in that seed brings forth the plant. But that life doesn't come forth in the little packet. That life comes forth when that seed is planted. It's not we who save people, it's God who saves people. But we've got to do some seed planting. If we do some seed planting, there's going to be some harvest. Now, I'd like to think that, Lord tarrying, this church will make its 200th anniversary. But it's up to you. Used to make an expression when I was a kid, looking for a helping hand, look at the end of your arm. It's up to us. Now, if we had to do it in our own strength and our own power, it'd be a lost cause. But Jesus said, you go and I'll go with you. You go and my power, my presence, my anointing will go with you. I'll prepare a way for you. And so, if we pray, if we discern the will of God, if we obey the will of God, if we go, if we plant seed, there'll be a harvest. The Bible says, he that goeth forth bring precious seed shall no doubt come back carrying that harvest. Those sheaves, those bundles of harvest. It's our decision. It's our decision. I know this is a somber service, but it's got to be said. It's got to be said now. You don't want to come in here in 10 years and be four of you. You want to come in here in 10 years and there'll be 100. May God make it so. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Close your eyes. I don't know what the Lord will say to you, each one of you. If there's some decision you need to make and you need to come to the altar and pray, would you come? Thank you. was a child. Now the doors are closed. Well, there's just a handful going. And you folks are far too precious to me to see it happen here. Can we cry out to God for revival? Can we commit ourselves to revival? Knowing that we don't have to do it in our own strength. That it's God, like God working in the life of a little seed. His power makes the difference. But he uses our hands to plant the seed. Father, this is your day. May we, as Jesus advised the church, Revelation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace in Jesus' name.